Nun hei om het bees. Omer of Shmuel bar Nachmeni on Rav Yonason. Kala omer b'nei Shmuel chotu enu el etoe. Shneemar, tayihi, kizok en Shmuel abonet lo holchu bedrocho. When Shmuel got old, his children didn't follow his ways. So, bedrocho hud lo holchu. The only chet they had was that they didn't follow in Shmuel's ways. But they didn't sin the way it seems in the pasuk that they were holy chachar habetza. They dealt with Klal Yisrael and robbed from them and cheated them. That's not what they did. Elamani mekayim vayatu achri habetza. So what does it mean when the Nach says that they went after stealing and cheating? Shalo also kamaisi avihim. The stealing and the cheating here was because they didn't do what their father did. Sho Yishmuel atzadik mechazer b'chol mekomos Yisrael v'dono som bareim. Shmuel used to go around like a circuit preacher, and he used to be don Klal Yisrael in their places. He would go to them. Shenemar v'holach mideishona b'shona v'sivde deisel v'hagilgo v'amitzvah v'shofa dis Yisrael. V'heim lo also came. El Yoshu b'yareim. They didn't do like their father. They didn't travel around to judge Klal Yisrael in their places. They stayed in their own place, and everybody had come to them. And the reason for that was, k'dei laharbo schar l'chazoneim l'sofreim, in order that the monies that came in for their secretaries and the secretary of the Beis Din would be increased. Because if they had to go around and travel, so they would the expenses of traveling would eat up the any profits they made from the monies that they got for what's it called for doing these Dinei Torah. But if they stayed in one place and the people had to come to them, they had no expenses. So this way they were able to make more money on the operating costs of the Beis Din. And that led their chazonim and sofrim to charge exorbitant fees, because they were in it for the money. And that was considered betza, because once they charged these fees, it led them to take shochad, and they used to take more from the party that that they would then favor, and tell the dayonim, try to convince the dayonim to favor them. We all know that the sofrim and chazonim who surround the Beis Din can have a big influence on the Beis Din too. They want to. So who comes in, who doesn't come in, who gets the ear of the Beis Din, who doesn't get the ear of the Beis Din. So that's what they did. And it ended up coming out to a tremendous amount of injustice. That's what Betsa is. Injustice because of the Shochad. So they caused this by not traveling around. And the Shulchan Aruch, the tour passes, that a judge doesn't have to travel around today. He can stay in one place. Because today, there's not that many people in outlying areas. Everybody, now that there's a din that Beis Din sits at regular times, people are supposed to come to the Beis Din. And also, it could be that even they didn't have to go around. But since the father did it, right, they should have followed in his ways. But there's no halacha that a Beis Din has to travel all around. It's a sakonis drachin today. It's dangerous to travel. So therefore, the minigiz, but the dinim stay in one place and people come to them. But they were the sons of Shmuel. They should have done what their father did. And because they stayed in one place, also was for the sake of making the income of the people who worked for them greater, it led to betza, it led to shochad, it led to a lot of injustices. Kitanoi. This itself, whether they sinned or not, is machlokas tanoi. Vayatu acharei habotza, Rabbi Omar chelkom shol ubetia. What does it mean, vayatu acharei habotza? Right, according to the first opinion, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeini, in the name of Rabbi Yonason, they didn't actually do anything unjust. They just sat in one place, and it caused injustices because of what the Chazonim and the Sofrim did. But here, what's it called, Rabbi Meir says that they asked for their chelek in the... Maestris. They were Levium, right? They asked for it verbally. Okay, let's see Rashi. B'nei Shmuel chotu b'mekach shochad b'atoyes din. Whoever says that the children of Shmuel sinned, as it seems from the Tanakh, that they took bribery, and they also committed injustice in how they pasken the dinim, is making a mistake. L'chazonehem, shamshehem shesofrim osam leilech l'hazmin esanikroim l'din. The chazonim are the people who are the shluchei beizdin who go and summons the people to court. Ulesofrehem l'shtorei beirim l'igrishum. The sofrim are the ones, the scribes, right? The ones who have to write the shtaros or whatever that have to be written at the bid of the beizdin. Okay. So one thing that says chelkam ashal uvefihem ma'aser rishon haroi lohem shelaviim Rashi. I'm skipping one Rashi because it's out of order here. Ma'aser rishon haroi lohem shelaviim hoyu. They were leviim and they had a right to take ma'aser. Shal uvefihem, but they demanded it. And therefore, if they demanded it, they gave it to them because they were important people. And the Levium, who were Aniyim, they lost out because these were the ones who got the Meiser. According to Reb Meir, they didn't actually do anything unjust, but they caused an injustice by taking the Meiser and not leaving it for the ones who were Aniyim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Meloi Yitilu Abali Batim. Let's go back to the other Rashi. Meloi Yitilu Abali Batim. Nosnim Lohem Pragmatio Lasokba. What they did is the following. They used to give money to people to invest for them and to use in business. The Losis Lohem Aschar, right? And they would give them profit from it, right? They use their money. That's an accepted thing, right? People give the capital, other people work with it, and they give a share of the profits to the people who gave them the money. And because of that, right, they had a connection to these people who would come in front of them with din. They never really gave them anything, shochad-wise, but since they had a connection with them, right, and they, when their dinei Torah would come before them, they would favor them, and that was like shochad. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kupa Yisera Shol Meiser Notlu Bizroa. They, Rashi, Kupa Yisera Yosef, they took more than the necessary Meiser. And they took it, against the will of the people. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Matanos Notlu Bizroa. Matanos Zroa L'chayan V'keva. They took the Matanos, according to the first shot, of Zroa L'chayayim and Keva. Those are the things you give from an animal that shechted. You're supposed to give it to the Kohen. And they weren't Kohanim. Yet they took it anyway. Lashon Acher, Matnos Leviyah. The Matanos that were coming to them, but they took it forcibly. Kigo Meiser, V'krok Shiv, V'nosem L'Kohen. V'darshin V'lo Yishit L'Mi'atzmo. You give it to the Kohen. He doesn't take it. Right? The Bailim of the Tvua has a right to give it to who he wants to. Applies to all matanas of kahuna and levia. The what's it called? The bailin have the right to decide who they want to give it to. Okay. But the levi and the kohen can't take it forcibly. Okay. Anyone who thinks that David sinned with Bathsheba and committed adultery is making a mistake. Shenemar. Vayehi David the whole drach of maskil v'ashem imo, efsher chait bali yada u'shchina imo. David had the Rabbanu Shalom with him. He had the Shchina with him. How could it be that he was an adulterer and he had the Shchina with him? Elamani mekayim madua bozisus dvar Hashem lasos hara shebikesh lasos v'lo asa. He wanted to taka live with Bathsheba before she got her get, but he didn't do that. He didn't do it. We'll see 1 second exactly what the Omer Rav. Rebbe the Osami David Mahavik with Dorish Bishuse the David. Rebbe, who was a descendant of David Amelech, he tried to find merit for David. The Madua Bazisa as Dvarha the Dorish Bishuse David, Madua Bazisa Dvar Hashem, Masos Hora, Rebbe Omer Mishuna Razu Mikol Rosh Batorah. Shikol Rosh Batorah Ksibahu Vayas. It says Vayas is Hora. Here it says Lasos is Hora. It's hinted to in the pasuk that he wanted to do it, but he didn't actually do it. Rashi, David chotav Vasheva told him shekibla get, that he actually committed adultery and lived with her while she was still married to her husband, shebikish lishkavi ma kodem shekibla get, shaya baila sholeach lo min hamilchama, he had wanted to live with her even before she got her get, which her husband sent from the battlefield, which we'll get in a few seconds to see what that is. Shim yamos lo tizakik liyibum, o shema yohorig, ve'ein meyed ola v'tisagin ishto, o shema yeheshavi kadamrin lakamen, kol ayotzim uchavis based on it. The Gemara says later on that anyone who went out to in the army of David, and earlier in the army of Shaul also, they used to try to get to their wives for the following possibilities. If they didn't have any children, so they were afraid if they died, then the wife would have to go and make Yibum or Chalitza. So they divorced her, Rashi learns, on a T'nai. They divorced her on a T'nai, that if I don't come back from the battle, retroactively you're divorced. So that way, she was divorced before the person died, and she doesn't have to, before her husband died, and she doesn't have to have Yibum or Chalitza. She's free to marry anybody she wants. Second possibility, even if they had children. But the guy would be killed, and nobody would be a witness, and she wouldn't be able to get married again. So this way, if he never came back, even if we don't know he's dead, but if he never came back from the battle, so retroactively she was divorced. Or he would be captured. And she'd be an aguna, right, because her husband is captured and never comes back. So if he never came back from the battle, she'd be divorced and she could remarry. Okay. So David had wanted to live with her before she got this get, because sometimes they didn't write the get when they left. They were too busy to get to the battle, right? So when they got to the battlefield, they wrote the get and sent it home. So David had wanted to live with her before she got the get, but he waited until she got the get. Es Uriah Achiti Hikisa Bechorev, right? It says that David is blamed for killing Uriah Achiti, sent him to the front. You should have judged him in the Sanhedrin. You didn't. You took it on yourself to execute him yourself. Tosa says a king is allowed to execute somebody who's a Morid B'Malchus himself. He doesn't need a Sanhedrin. But he should have first had the Sanhedrin decide if he's a Morid B'Malchus or not. You shouldn't have decided on your own he was a Morid B'Malchus and then execute him. If the Sanhedrin would have decided he's a Morid B'Malchus, you could have executed him yourself. You could have killed him any way you wanted. But you should have first let them decide whether he was in fact a traitor or not. The es ish to lakach to lecho leisha, and you took his wife for a wife, likuchin yesh lechaba. But the nach is intimates that you were able to make her your wife. If she was not, if she was still a married woman, you couldn't have made her your wife. You made his wife your wife. Means the woman who previously was his wife, you made your wife. So it means that she didn't actually commit adultery. Because if he committed adultery, he couldn't have made her his wife. Whoever goes out in the battles of David and Melech, kosek get krisus liishto. He wrote his wife again, and the way Rashi learns, al tnai. And a condition, that if I don't come back, it will be a get retroactively. Shenemar, the esaseres charitze hecholav ho'ele tovi l'sar ha'elet, the esachecha tifkod l'sholom, the esarubosom tikach. This is talking about Shaul HaMelech's war, where David was sent to his brothers who were part of the army, and he brought them, milk, and he brought the commanding officer some milk, and you should, see how your brothers are doing, and bring them aruvosom. My aruvosom, what was David supposed to bring them? What's aruvosom? Tani Rav Yosef, Dvorim Hamurovim, Beinu Levana. He was bringing the gittin that they had, had written. He was going to transfer that to their wives. So we see that even in Shaul HaMelech's time, they used to write gittin if they went out to battle. And in David HaMelech's army, they did the same thing. Rashi. Shehoye lechol adonu al shemored b'malchus ked lekamon. First tried him in the Sanhedrin to see if he is a traitor, a morid b'malchus, right, a person who is a renegade, one who's a morid b'malchus, a traitor, what? A rebel, yeah, right. Likuchen yesh lecha, kedushin tovsimba, She'ino Eshesish, Kedishmu. If she'd be a real Eshesish, you couldn't have married her. You married his wife. So Mashma, that was, well, she wasn't really his wife anymore. Get Krisus, al Tanai. They wrote a get on condition. She'im Yomus, Tehim Megureshes, Me'ashem. That if he would die, right, then she'd be Megureshes, Lemafreya. Upamim Shutorib, it says. So Veshokum and Alachal. Sometimes he didn't write it when he, before he left. Right, they were too busy to, the what's it called, to run to battle immediately. Once they got to the battlefield, they would send it back. The Esaruvosim Tikach b'Muchemes Shol. See, over there it's talking about Shol HaMelech's Muchama. But David HaMelech carried on that tradition. Dvorim HaMurovim B'Neim, Einu Kedushin. Tikach. Mevatla they get. Take from them that which will nullify their connection to their wife. Shetavi lohem et amalchama. Bring it from them, from the battlefield. That was David's, Amelech's, or David's job to bring his brother's gittin back home. Va'oso harakta v'cherev b'nei amo. So, first of all, Tosus says that, according to Rashi, it wasn't only if they would die, because if you knew they were dead, then part of this wasn't a problem. But even if they wouldn't come back. Once they wouldn't come back from the battlefield, right, that was enough to make it a get. And even though Uriah did come back, he didn't come back in the end. Finally, he didn't come back. He came back temporarily, but he didn't come back in the end of the battle, and therefore, retroactively, she was a grusha from the time that he gave her the get. But according to Rashi, there was a time that she didn't have a get. Right? He went in what's it called, Rosh Chodesh Teves, to the war. He sent the get, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So retroactively from Shvat, she was a, what's it called, a grusha. But not from Teves. And David HaMelech had intended to live with her in Teves. And then she taka would have been an Eshesish. But he didn't live with her till Shvat, and then retroactively, she was a divorced woman. Okay. Tosfos learns that they used to give a get right out, not on Tanai. But he mentions that, according to one opinion at least, during the whole time, till the get takes effect, retroactively, she has a din of an Eshesish. So if he lived with her, what's it called, before the get took effect, right, he's living with an Eshesish. So, Lamaisa, it's talking that they gave Mamash a get completely. So why was she was totally not married. But not everybody knew about that. Not everybody knew who gave their wives gittin. But Mamash, not everybody did it. That's why it's called the Sofik Eshesish. David HaMelech lived with a Sofik Eshesish. According to Rashi, she was a Sofik because we didn't know what would happen in the end. If Uriah would come back, she'd be an Eshesish. If he never came back, then the get would take place with Mafreya. According to Tosfos, they gave a get right out without any conditions. So they were divorced. And then they used to remarry after the battle, after the war. So if he came back. Right? And if he didn't come back, that was it. She was from the time. So what's the idea over here? So why is it called Suffolk Eshesish? Because they did it privately, and everybody thought she was an Eshesish. And the way I think the Marsha understands this is that nobody really knew who was divorced, right? Not always did a guy write a get to his wife. So, what's it called? There was a shaila whether she was divorced or not. In the end, it came out that Uriah had written to her a get. But David wasn't sure about it. So she had a din of a suffix eshesish by David. Va'oso harakta b'chera b'nei amon, right? And you killed Uriah by sending him to the front, right? And you killed him through the people of Amon. So, Machera b'nei Amon, yatonena shalav, afur yachiti yatonena shalav. And the reason it said like this is to tell me that just like you, David, weren't responsible for what the people of Amon killed Jews, right? Just as much, you're not responsible for killing Uriah. My time, Mori b'malchus avi. And why wasn't he held responsible? I see he put him on the front, right? He caused him to be killed, but he had a right to kill him outright, not only to put him on the front and put him in danger, but mamish to kill him. Why? Because he was a morid b'malchus. Where do we see that Uriah was a morid b'malchus? He rebelled against the king. The Omer Leva Adoni Yoav Avdei Adoni Al Pnei Asod Echonim. He called Yoav, Rashi says, Adoni, and that was a rebellion against the king. Tosha says that's not a rebellion to call somebody else Adoni, right? He says the rebellion was that David told him to go home. And he said, how could I go home? My brothers are in battle, and I should go home and live with my wife. And he didn't go home. So he rebelled against the king. The king told him to do something, he didn't do it. And the Marsha says in Rashi that he used the same title for Yoav as he used for David. He called Yoav in David's presence, Adoni Yoav. And he said, and what's it called? Avdi Adoni, he referred to David and Yoav with the same title. That was already rebellion. He gave the same allegiance to Yoav as he gave to David. Rashi, Becherav b'nei Amon, ka'osan shahorgin b'nei Amon, shalomi daitcha. The same way that you're not going to be responsible for the people of Ammon who killed Jews, you're not responsible for killing Uriah either. You're not going to be punished for it. V'adoni Yoav, lav orech ara, l'kabal alav moros achen v'nei Amelech. It's not proper to accept the authority of others in front of the king. Right? And the way the Marsha learns, and to equate it with the authority of the king. Okay, Omar Rav, ki ma'ayonis be David. If you'll look into the parasha of David, lo mashkachas be barmi Uriah. The only sin you'll find is what he did to Uriah. With Bathsheba, like we said, she was a divorced woman. But by Uriah, there's a chet, tichsiv, rak bedover Uriah chiti. The only thing that David was held responsible for was Uriah chiti. And, like we said before, he was a morid b'malchus. He wasn't really responsible for killing him. He was responsible for not giving it over to the Sanhedrin to decide if he was a morid b'malchus or not, like the Gemara said before. Abayik shisha rami, derav adarav. Abayik shisha brought a contradiction from Rav on Rav. Right? The Rav said that the only sin that David HaMelech has is what he did to Uriah Chiti. That he sent him to the front without letting the Sanhedrin decide if he was a Morib Malchus or not. Yet Rav said, Mi Omer Rav Hachi, did Rav really say that? That was the only sin that David HaMelech had? But Omer Rav, Kibel David Lashon Hara. Right? David accepted Lashon Hara from Tziva about Mephibosheth, Shaul's son. And because of that, he caused a lot of tzoros. So that's what was a chet. Kasha. Where it says, Kasha. Taka, that Rav said that David had another sin. Right? And here Rav says that the only sin that David had was Uriah Chiti. Gufa. What was this? Rav Omar, Kibel David Lashon Hara. The Tziv, Vayomer lo HaMelech Eifohu. Vayomer Tziva al HaMelech Hinehu Beis Mocher Ben Amiel Velo Dovar. Uksiv, Vayishlach HaMelech Vayikichoyim Beis Mocher Ben Amiel Below Davar, right? What happened was like this. When David was being chased by Avshalom, and he had to leave Yerushalayim and go into Galus, running away from his son, so Mephibosheth, who was the heir to Shaul's kingdom, right, had David not taken it over, so Tziva, his Eved, told David that Mephibosheth was in Yerushalayim waiting for David not to come back to take over the Malchus. And he was hoping that David HaMelech wouldn't make it back, he'd be killed by Avshalom, and he would be there and he would take away the Malchus. And he wouldn't let Avshalom take it, he would take it to succeed his father. And it wasn't really true. Mephibosheth was mourning over the fact that David HaMelech left the city, and that he was deposed. He wanted David to be the king, he wasn't interested in taking over. But this Tziva spoke Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth. He wanted to get David's, favor, find favor in David's eyes, so he could make a profit over here, which we'll see what he got. Uksiv, Vayishlach HaMelech Veikachem Mibeis Mocher Ben Amiel Below Davar, right? So it says David went to get Mephibosheth from where he was. Tziva told him where he was, and he went and sent for him. Nichti, chazya de shikru, right? Ki hodar al shinoleo, my tamakib, lamine, right? Lachar David saw that Tziva was lying. So why did why did he believe him after that? Tziva, ayomer hamelech, el Tziva, aye ben adonecha, ayomer Tziva lamelech, hineo yoshe birushalayim. He's in Yerushalayim, right? Waiting for you to not to come back and to grab the throne. And it wasn't true, he wasn't there. So he saw that he was lying to him. So why did he believe him afterwards? How do you know that he accepted the Lashon Hara? He told Tziva, because Mephibosheth is a rebel, and he's interested in taking away my Malchus, he's happy that I was deposed, right, by Avshalom, so you can have everything that's Mephibosheth, I'm giving to you. The king has a right to take mafker people's money and give it to somebody else if he wants. Right, and Tziva said, thank you. What's it called for the present? Shmuel Amar, that's what Rav says. So Rav says that he was Mekabel Lashon Hara, and he gave Tziva everything that belonged to Mephibosheth because of that. And that was an aveira of believing what Tziva said is the Isser of Kabbalah Lashon Hara. Rashi.
Since the Isser is the Kabbalah, what did it matter if it was true or not?
What?
What did it matter if it
was no, true? No, the question is, that how do we know he believed it? How do you know it was Mekabelah? Right? The Maisha, he saw that it was the first thing he said wasn't true. So he saw it was a lie. Why did he believe the second thing? Right? That's the question. And if he didn't believe it, then he wasn't Mekabel Lashon Hara. Okay, Rak B'Dover Uriya, Mikra Ksiv, Kach B'Dvar Uriya, Shigorim Lo Sheyahorik, Aval Basheva Lo Chata. Basheva, there was no chait. Uriya, the fact that he caused him to be killed was a chait, even though he's a Moreb Malchus, like we said before, he should have been done him in the Sanhedrin. The Lo Dovar, Eino Chachem B'Torah, V'Humotso Mole Dover V'Chachem B'Torah. It says he's here and he's below Dovar, he's an Amoharit. And that's where David saw that Tziva was lying, because it's not true. Mephibosheth was the Talmud Chacham. So he wasn't below Davar. He wasn't without anything to him. Chazi de Shikra havi mitchila matzu shakra b'kach. Lamaisa, he knew that Tziva was a liar. Why did he believe him when he told him that Mephibosheth wants to depose him? He's sad that David came back. Ki hader alshin ale tziva al mephibosheth k'shoy David borev and the Avshalom my tama kibul mine. Why was he mekabel when David was running away from Avshalom later on? He was mekabel from the lashon hara that Mephibosheth is just waiting to grab the malchus when you don't come back. Aye ben adonecho vayomer hini yoshev b'Yerushalayim ki omer hayom yoshivu lo yesh mamleches avi. So he told him he's in Yerushalayim just waiting to get his father's malchus back. Because you're out of the city. Shmuel Omer lo kibel David Lashon Hara. Right? Shmuel says that David was not Mekabel Lashon Hara. Dvarim hanikorim chazibay. Because he didn't believe Tziva. But he saw for himself things that pointed to the fact that Mephibosheth was waiting to grab back the Malchus. That wasn't. So he didn't believe Tziva because of what Tziva said. He believed what he saw himself. He saw Dvarim HaNikarim, and if you see Dvarim HaNikarim, you're allowed to believe it. What were the Dvarim HaNikarim? They see, Mephibosheth ben Shaul, Yorad, Lifnei HaMelech, Lo Asa Ragla, Lo Asa Svamo, V'yes Begadav Lo Kibes. Right? Uksiv, Vayihi Kibbo Yerushalayim L'Gras HaMelech, Vayomer Lo HaMelech, Lama Lo Halachta Imi Mephibosheth, Vayomer Adoni HaMelech, Avdi Rimoni, Ki Omer Avdecho Ech B'Sholi HaChamor Ve'erkav Aleho, The Eilech es Hamelech, ki piseach avodecho. What happened was like this. David Hamelech saw that when he came back, Mephibosheth was mourning. So he assumed he's mourning because he came back, which made him believe that it's not true. He really wanted to grab the Malchus, and now he's really mourning because he couldn't grab it, because I came back. And David Hamelech said to Mephibosheth, right, why don't you come to join me? Right? Why did you stay in Yerushalayim and you knew that I was deposed? If you're really my friend, why didn't you come to join me when I had to run out of the city? Right? Why did you stay where you were, in Yerushalayim? It appeared that he stayed in Yerushalayim in order to grab the Malchus. And now that David came back, it was even more clear, because he's mourning. Right? What are you mourning about? That I'm back? So David asked him. He said, why didn't you come and join me? So he said, I wanted to, but my servant Tziva fooled me. I told him, get the donkey ready so I can go join David. I'm a lame person. Mephibosheth was lame. I can't do it on my own. And he told me, don't worry, I'll get it. And he never did. So I was stuck here in Yerushalayim when you were deposed, and I was, what's it called, going to join you. But I had no choice. I'm a lame person. I couldn't do it on my own. My servant, Tziva, said that he would do it, and he never showed up. Never did it. So Mephibosheth said that I really hold of you. You're like a Malach Elohim, and I wanted to join you. And I wasn't happy that, what's it called, that you were deposed. Just the opposite. The reason I was mourning was because you were deposed, because you were running away. Not because you didn't come back. I didn't know that you came back. So he was continued to mourn because of what happened before, not what happened now. Vayomer lo hamelech lomes sedaber od dvorecho, amarti atovet tziva techalku es asodes. David said, okay, I have a regret, right, that I was choshed you, but I'm still not 100% sure. So you'll split the field with Tziva. I'm not giving it to him completely, but if you're telling the truth, then you deserve it. If he's telling the truth, he deserves it, so we'll split it between you. I'm not sure who's telling the truth. Vayomer Mishu Yosha Salam Melech, Gamis HaKol Yikach, Acharei Shebo Adoni Amel B'Shalom. You can take everything. I'm happy enough that you came back, right? El Beso. Okay, Liz. There's no way, let's see Rashi. Ayi ben Adonecha, Vayomer Yini Yosha B'Shalayim, Ki Omar, Hayom Yashivu Li Yismelech Asavi. Okay? Dvorim HaNikarim Chazabei, B'Mithi Boshes. He saw things that led him to believe that Tziva was telling the truth. B'Mithi Boshes, K'Shenerag Avshalom. When Avshalom was killed, the Chazer David Lamachuso, and David came back to Yerushalayim, Ubalafonov, and he came before him, Mithi Boshes, Lo Asa Raglav, Lo Asa Svamo, K'Sover David, Shenikarim Divrei Tziva, Shenitztayr, Asa Chazer David. He saw that Mithi Boshes was mourning. He says, what are you mourning? He thought to himself, what are you mourning for? Must be your mourning because I came back. You were ready to grab the Malchus, and now Nebuch, I came back. Avshalom was killed. Right? So we went to mourning. V'lo kishet asmo. V'od ha'yum etzapek shoshivu b'malchus yisnoev yistaper. And he was hoping that when he'll get the Malchus, then he'll take a haircut or whatever, right? He'll celebrate by dressing himself up. So he waited until that moment that he'd be able to celebrate. V'kach lo kibol dvorah. That's why he didn't believe Mephibosheth 100%. Because he said, well, if he's really true, he's on my side. What was he mourning now? And he said, since I'm not sure, you'll split the field with Tziva. I'm taking it back completely from him, because maybe you're telling me the truth, but it looks like not, and therefore I'm going to split the field between you and Tziva. And we'll see tomorrow that Mephibosheth answered David, I don't have tainus on you. I have tainus on the one who brought you back, means God. My tainus on the Rabbanu Shalom. He neishim etzpar al shuva. Right? The imlo shiroa bol dvorim hanikorim hayachozir masha omer hinei lecho kol ha-shalom Mephibosheth. He would really seen things that seemed to point to the fact that Tziva was telling the truth. He wouldn't have accepted the Lashon Hara Tziva. He'd given everything to Mephibosheth. But he saw what he understood pointed to the fact that it was true. Even though he quickly, right, before the, preempted this change of heart by giving everything to Tziva, Einzu Kabbalah, he wasn't a Kabbalah Lashon Hara then. Now he didn't really believe him, and that's why he gave it, because really he couldn't give anything. He wasn't a king anymore. He was being deposed. So he just basically saying, I'm going to check this out, and if it comes out that you're true, later on I'll give you everything. But he didn't really give it to him yet, that he really believed it. I'm going to check it out, and if it's true, I'm going to give everything to you. But if it's not true, then you won't get anything. In the end, he accepted it partially. And he said, I'm not sure if it's true or it's not true, right? But not because Tziva said it. That was Kabbalah's Lashon Hara, because of the things that he personally saw.